Hey everyone, this is Casual Fanatic.
Film reviews without the shoes.
I'm Luca, your casual viewer.
And I'm Cayman, your fanatic. Oh, well, today, Luca, we have a returning guest.
OMG.
It is Elena.
Why, hello, Elena. Welcome to the podcast yet again. I think this is, what, your third time returning?
I think she's having some audio problems.
Can't you connect your AirPods to your PC?
It's like technically possible, but actually really difficult.
I got you.
But anyway, while she is doing that, I have had a pretty good time, actually. So on Thursday and Saturday, Elaine and I went down to Fayetteville for some drinking.
Nice.
And we wore our Halloween costumes both of those nights. Thursday, there wasn't that many people dressed up. It was like maybe 30%, maybe 25 even. It was like there were other people in costume, but not a lot. Saturday, every single bar was like super, super packed and everyone had their costumes on.
Bam.
It was pretty crazy.
What was your costume?
Elaine and I were characters from a movie called Labyrinth.
Okay. It sounds familiar. I don't know. Oh, no. Cayman, I think you and I talked about this the other time, but no, I have not seen this movie.
Okay.
That's like with those weird critters. Yeah, I have not watched it.
And then on Monday, I wore my costume to work, and almost everyone in our office wore their costume on Monday. That was really fun. I think only three people didn't.
Oh my God, same. Yeah, I think only two people in our office didn't wear a costume.
That's cool.
Yeah, we were all characters from The Wizard of Oz.
Nice. Which one were you?
I was a tornado.
Oh, yeah. Bro, you got to send me pics. You have to send me pics of that costume.
It was interesting. Yeah, I will. I will. It was a good time, though. Just like you.
Yeah, and then after work, we went out trick-or-treating with Elena's nieces and nephews.
Nice.
I guess there's only one niece.
Hell yeah. That's a lot of fun. I actually didn't go trick-or-treating at all. I just had a costume. And then I went to a Halloween party on Friday. And then, no, Halloween party Saturday night. And then, of course, work Monday morning. But yeah.
Nice.
And now here we are. It's already November, dude.
Yeah. And only in, what, like 2.5 weeks here, we're going to be coming to visit you.
Oh yeah, true. Super pumped for that. That's going to be freaking awesome.
We'll have to record while we're there.
Dude, you know what I think? I think it's our 1 year anniversary when you're here, no?
I'll have to double check, but maybe? I don't know.
Yeah, because I'm pretty sure we started recording in November sometime. I think
we started in October.
Did we start in October?
I don't know. Either way, I've been judging it like, obviously, there have been a few weeks that got skipped here and there. So rather than judging it on the actual amount of time, I've just been waiting until we hit like episode 52.
Oh, I got you. I got you. Yeah. I mean, it says here Ghostbusters Afterlife. Granted, there were some episodes before this that we didn't.
Yeah.
I guess we just took off.
Yeah. There have been some episodes. I've been trying to slowly sort of shift everything towards our newer format. So for a while, I just had I had all of our old episodes with a red logo instead of a blue logo so that you could differentiate them.
Yeah.
Now I'm like slowly removing some of them because I think eventually I want just the new stuff to be up. And then I don't know if we become famous, then we can get like a Patreon or something. Maybe we can put the old episodes back up there.
Yeah, maybe. But dude, I'm not kidding. I listened to every single one of our episodes again within the last 2 weeks.
Yeah.
And I kind of liked me going back and listening to the ultra long ones because like I could work and like while we talk through the movie, like almost scene by scene, it was like really cool for me to work, but like be watching a movie at the same time, but not, you know?
Yeah. Hold on. Elena's stress texting me. I need to go help her.
All righty.
I have returned.
Hello.
I am here.
Oh, wow. That sounds so good. I can hear every single word you're saying.
Yeah, what'd you do? What'd
so you change? You're saying I'm not a robot.
You're not a robot. Way better.
Cool.
Wait, what did you change?
On my desktop for my Discord, and then I'm just recording on my phone still with my AirPod and my other ear.
Oh yeah, way better. Boom, boom, tagline. Are we talking about today?
Good segue.
Honestly, forget that movie. Let's only talk about Labyrinth.
Okay, today we are going to be talking about the 2021 movie, Shang-Chi and the Legend of the Ten Rings. It was directed by Destin Daniel Cretton, written by Dave Callahan and Andrew Lonham. I don't know how to pronounce his last name.
Beautiful.
And stars a lot of people that I can't pronounce the names of, but the two main characters are, of course, Shang-Chi is played by Simu Liu, and Katie is played by Awkwafina.
Hell yeah, that's a big old cast that you can't say names of.
I mean, there's a few people here and there, but...
Yeah. So overall view of the movie, we can start with Elena. What'd you think of it?
Ooh. I liked it. This is my second time watching it. Last time I watched it was in the theater, like when it first came out. I think it's good. I feel like there's no like, it was like a good like in between of like funny bits, yet serious, yet like not cheesy. And there was no like weird, I feel like not too many like culture like issues or anything. Like I feel like it was good.
Mm-hmm. Nice. Kamen, what about you?
I am pretty much in the same boat. I think this is definitely a top tier Marvel movie. They have some issues with it that I will get into later. But overall, I think it was the story was, I think, I won't say super different from other Marvel stories, but it was like very sincere, and I like that. But it also did have moments of comedy, and I think everyone acting wise did a great job. And yeah,
I would agree with that. Yeah,
it was also very I think respectful of Chinese culture.
Mm-hmm.
Not that I'm an expert in Chinese culture or anything, but it didn't seem like they were making stereotypes out of people, you know?
Yeah, no, I totally get that. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think I have the same opinion. I'll just tag on to it with I think it was very refreshing to have a Marvel movie that doesn't have a crap ton of Marvel characters in it, because the last three or four movies we've seen has just been, you know, although a lot of fun,
yeah,
it was just very how do I say, yeah, like I said earlier, just it was nice
Packed
seeing something
full.
Without it. Yeah,
yeah. I mean,
old characters you've already seen over and over.
Exactly. Like
three movies ago we did Black Panther, and that was also a lot of new characters, but you're right, for the most part I just feel like the getting towards the end of the Infinity Saga really it really, I don't know what the word for it is, but you know, it gets you.
Yeah, yeah.
So yeah, it's nice to have a breather after all of that world ending stuff.
Yeah, like the whole whirlwind, the emotional torment back and forth, and then just heartbreak at the end of the last movie with Iron Man passing.
Yeah,
Tony
that's
Stark.
Depressing.
Yeah, very, very, very depressing. Oh shit, spoiler if you haven't seen that.
Don't worry, we can cut it out.
Spoiled? Nah, man. The whole like internet was littered with like rest in peace, Tony Stark.
That's for sure.
There's a good chance people already know, but just in case, because some people like
you're
just
here. Let me
aren't
just
on the internet.
Let me record my spoiler review now, and then we can rewind, and you can add it there. You know.
All right.
This is a surprise spoiler section. Don't listen if you don't want movies to be spoiled.
Perfect. Now
surprise.
They know.
that's actually good that you did the spoiler review now, because we're going to take this opportunity to move into our Marvel Minute, and I will try not to spoil anything, but just in case, we're going to take a second, because as I mentioned last time, after Endgame is when Disney Plus launched, and with it a lot of Marvel television shows. And so between Endgame and Shang-Chi, there were actually four Marvel TV shows that came out.
Wow.
So the first one was WandaVision, which I think is so far probably the most important in terms of like setup for future stuff. I think it would definitely, first of all, the first like three or four episodes are just like really fun on their own, because each episode is sort of like a sitcom from a different era. And
yeah.
And so like the first episode is like very like styled after like a I Love Lucy sort of a show. And then I don't remember what the second one was, because it's been literally 2 years. But yeah, I would recommend watching the first few episodes just to get the fun experience of it. But basically the show is dealing with Wanda's grief after losing Vision in Infinity War.
Okay.
Which is like really sad.
And then after that was Falcon and the Winter Soldier. That one I felt like I won't say it's bad, but it's skippable. I feel like by the end of that series, everyone is pretty much in the same spot that they were in at the beginning.
Lovely.
Yeah, it was just kind of like fun to see the characters, really.
Because it was like we already saw at the end of Endgame when old Steve Rogers gives the shield over to Sam.
Right.
And so you're like, oh, Sam's going to be the next Captain America. And then that entire show is just like, oh, what's happening? And then at the end of the series, it's like, oh, guess what? Sam is Captain America. And it's like, okay, but we knew that already.
Wow, they didn't make him actual Captain America yet? Like in a show?
At the end of this show, he's Captain America.
Well, at the end of it, but that's, I mean, did he actually do something as Captain America, or was it again just...
No, he did a thing.
Okay, cool. He did a thing. Nice. Cool.
After that was Loki. And that's the one that I had also mentioned during Endgame when, remember they go back in time and then Tony Stark accidentally drops the Tesseract and then Loki picks it up and vanishes. So this series picks up literally right after that, and it's pretty much a whole like time traveling adventure with Loki, and it's pretty fun. But also, I mean, as of time of recording, the events of that show are not super consequential.
Okay.
So it might become more important in the future, and they've already like approved season 2, so who knows what's going to happen in that.
Oh, nice. Okay.
So yeah, fun watch. What's the word for when people have like opposite opinions?
Controversial.
Yeah.
Controversial.
I think the ending of Loki was a little controversial. Some people really liked it, some people really didn't. And then the last one was What If, which the premise of that show is just like each episode is just like a random story that's completely not connected to the main MCU. And I feel like that was really fun until it wasn't.
When was it not fun anymore?
Well, because I feel like it was fun just watching these like standalone episodes and it kind of being like this anthology series where it's like, in this episode, we're gonna find out what would happen if like the first episode is like, what if Peggy Carter got the super soldier serum instead of Steve Rogers? And then there was like another episode later, like what if like zombies took over Earth or took over the Marvel Universe or something.
Oh my gosh,
that.
I forgot about that.
And
so long ago.
There was all these standalone stories, but then like towards the end of the season, they tried like connecting all of those stories into like a separate what if universe, and I was like, I'm not interested in all that.
Yeah. Okay. Interesting.
So yeah, those are the shows we've got so far.
And you've watched all of them?
Yes.
Yeah.
Wow. Impressive.
I mean, it's only one episode a week. It's not like it takes that much effort.
It's a lot of effort.
I mean, yeah, it's a lot of effort, bro.
Bro, it's literally like...
You would not be catching me do that shit.
40
if you
minutes
were not
a week.
Putting it on.
That's a lot of time. You can do
it's
it in 40
not
minutes.
A lot of time.
You do a lot in 40 minutes, man.
Okay.
Take a fat 40 minute nap.
Yeah.
Well, anyways, we are now going to move on to...
So was that your Marvel minute?
Yes, that was
you
my Marvel
like
minute.
You said like a minute of talking about Marvel?
Just a minute of talking, like catching, because obviously we're not trying to review every single Marvel thing that comes out ever.
Right.
So our Marvel minute is just to catch Luca and the audience up on all the stuff that we've skipped.
Okay, I see.
So now...
I've been minuted.
You've been minuted. and we will now step into the boxing ring. This is a new addition since the last time you were on, Elena, so allow me to explain. There is a website called Letterboxd where people leave reviews and such, and usually on that website there is a short sort of blurb or description describing what the movie is about. And Luca and I will usually take turns trying to guess what that description says and then see who gets closer to the actual description.
Yeah.
So it's sort of like a competition sort of thing.
Okay.
I hope she understands.
Lainey, you still
yeah,
there?
Yeah, that was... Yeah, I feel like you just said the word description 10 times, but I feel like maybe I'll figure it out.
Here, let me dumb it down for you since, you know, I'm the casual viewer.
Basically, yeah, I need that one.
You're going to try to summarize the movie like as if you're talking about it in a trailer format. So you don't want to give anything big away, but you want to give just enough information of like people, places, things that you think is important to the whole storyline. And then, like, of course, leave it on a cliffhanger at the end. It's like, and they want to...
So we're making our own trailer?
Yeah, basically.
Pretty much. And so, the fun thing now is I've decided normally, because there's only two of us, we just, like, try and, like, sort of figure it out together. But I think what I'm going to do now is I'm going to play judge on this round and let you two battle it out.
Why can't I be judge, huh?
Because I've already read the description. So.
Oh, you bitch.
Dang it.
But that's alrighty. Good, though, because now I can give you a little bit of help. I can give you some hints to sort of maybe lead you guys in the right direction.
All right, Elena, you go first.
Hold on.
Wait, I've never played.
Okay. Here's your hint about this description. It is... it is one sentence, and it is not, it like really doesn't spoil a single damn thing.
Wow.
Okay, so I need to say one sentence that spoils nothing.
How many commas?
None.
Oh my god, how many words?
All right.
10?
All right, which one of you is going first?
Wait, I have to do a certain amount of words?
No. That was just me joking around.
And I'm not gonna tell you how many words there are.
You know what? I'm not even gonna think about it. I'm just gonna start. Okay. This is my sentence. It is Marvel meets China meets new characters meets pew pew.
You're what doing the great. Fuck? Luca, you should have gone first so she could see how it's done.
No, that was
what,
perfect,
was that
dude. That was perfect.
I didn't reveal anything. Is it not the movie?
Let's see. That doesn't give away a single thing you said. That's the difficult part, I think.
I didn't give anything away.
True.
maybe too little.
Let's see. The good, the bad clash.
That's your sentence?
No. The good, the
okay.
That's right. Like, I'm going very slow.
Didn't give anything away.
The good, the bad clash while both are trying to save their own view of the world / reality.
Interesting.
I like mine better.
Neither of you really did that good of a job, so we're gonna do a tiebreaker.
Okay,
here.
Two novices.
No, Luca's not a
two
novice.
People.
He's done this several times.
True, but you said it doesn't give anything away.
Okay, here we're gonna do a tiebreaker. We're just gonna. I want there is one phrase.
You're gonna tell us the sentence.
There, I will after one of you wins. There's one phrase. That if you say it, I will give you the point, and we're gonna go back and forth until one of you says it. So, Elena, you start. Give me a short word or phrase, and then if you don't get it, then we'll let Luca have a go.
A word or phrase that would be in the sentence.
Yeah,
and it's not Asia meets Marvel.
We'll try it again. Maybe he'll give it to you. Who knows?
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. Blah, 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 blah.
Did you say something just now?
No, I'm thinking.
Okay, your voice like trailed off, so I wasn't sure if you were answering or.
No, I'm thinking out loud. That's hard.
You just literally just say a word that you think has to do with the movie.
China.
No, Luca, your turn.
Shang-Chi is out to save the world.
No, but you're heading in the right direction.
Okay, so his name's in it?
Yes, but that's not the word I'm looking for.
But Shang-Chi.
Also, it's Shang-Chi.
don't know, doesn't save the world. Saves another world.
You're thinking way too hard. Luca, your turn.
Shang-Chi saves the temple.
No.
Fuck!
Do we need to leave the word save something? Or are we nope. really, are we?
I never said any of those words were in it.
I just feel like, okay, good to know. Okay.
Think of, I'll give you a hint on this one as well. It is a proper noun.
Okay, that doesn't help me at all.
Yeah, it literally means nothing to me. So
well, you don't know what proper nouns are. Both of y'all need to go back to school.
No, hold on. So a noun is a person, place, or thing.
Uh-huh.
And then if you make it proper, it's like China or like my name, right?
Correct.
Okay, so I wasn't far off with China. That is a proper noun. New York is they were in New York. They were in California in what's the place with the hills? San Francisco.
Good try, but no.
Okay.
This is hard, bro. What the fuck? Can you give me another example?
Okay, Luca, give it one more go, and if you don't get it, then I'll do a different tiebreaker.
What do you mean?
I'll change the game.
I already lost.
Shang-Chi fighting 10 rings.
You got it. The proper noun. I was looking for was 10 rings.
Hell yeah, let's go! That's a
proper noun.
That is it, because it's the name of the organization.
Yeah.
I was thinking of like the physical 10 ring objects.
No, that's the org name.
So Luca, you got the point.
Oh my god, let's go. Wait, what's the actual thing, you were ready to give up.
So this is what the description says. It says, Shang-Chi must confront the past he thought he left behind when he is drawn into the web of the mysterious Ten Rings organization.
Oh, wow. Okay, well, I got two of the things. I said his name and Ten Rings.
Yep.
Nice. Honestly, forgot already that was the organization's name.
Luckily, I wrote it down.
Last time was a long time ago.
All right. Well, now that we finally have an actual winner for this game, let us take a quick break, and then we will come back with our more detailed review.
Detailed review, review,
review, review, review.
Was it like an ad break or something?
Yeah, but...
The ad already finished. Didn't you hear it?
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Get do that thing.
Anyway, I guess, Luca, you've already done your spoiler warning, so we're just going to heads up again. We're spoiling things, so get out of here if you don't want that.
Spoiling.
Spoiling.
All right. Would you like to start us off, Luca?
Of course I can. I think that the intro is quite interesting. Being in, like, watching this man who apparently has been alive for hundreds of years gain everything and then still want more.
Yeah.
I think that is just such an interesting, thought-provoking opener to a movie in showing, like, this guy has everything he would ever want, but he wants more. And then you're like, ooh, well, what does he want? Right. You know? And that's, like, just such a good setup for the movie, I think. So you're not going in there cold turkey.
I also really liked that they didn't fall into like, oh, let's just make it English so the Western people understand. Like,
the
entire intro was in Chinese.
Yes.
I was like, mad respect.
Oh, I loved that. Yeah.
Like, you better fucking read.
Throughout the movie, they made, like, changed, you know what I mean, to different, like, between Chinese and
like,
English.
People were just, like, casually speaking Chinese in this film and, like,
which I love.
Like, oh, sorry, I'm gonna skip to the part where they go up in that elevator to, like, you know, to visit the sister.
I speak ABCs, I don't speak English.
She was like, I don't speak Chinese. He goes, oh, don't worry, I speak the ABCs. I love that part.
Actually, little thing about that, I think, because I remember the first time that when we saw the movie in theater, I thought that he meant ABC as in alphabet, but there's actually like a very common term, ABC, that means American born Chinese.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh.
So when he says, I speak ABC, that means I know how to speak to a Chinese person who was born in America.
Interesting. I don't know. Okay, cool. I thought that was just like a funny
slang
term they use for English.
So is that what he meant, or he just meant ABCs?
He said I speak ABC, and that doesn't he didn't say the ABCs. So I feel like it was the Chinese thing.
Okay.
Yeah, so I think that was a great opener.
Yeah.
In multiple ways in one. I think you really also saw you saw partial character progression at the start with his dad.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it also makes you realize how freaking old he is.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Although I will say though, like, it was really fun, but like they were like, oh, history would change, and there was like some like more modern like scenes and like people getting shot or something exploding. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, am I supposed to know this building or like?
No, I think it's just like generic, like, oh, he probably like killed someone important, or like anytime there was like a big assassination, the Ten Rings were behind it or something like that.
Yeah, that's kind of the vibe I got from that too. Yeah.
I was just making sure I wasn't missing, like, architecture knowledge was, like, bad, and I, like, didn't know, like, an important building that was being blown up or something.
No, that's okay.
Or, like, it was like, oh, obviously this country, and I'm over here like, oh, fair enough.
And they're also, like, the Ten Rings have been involved in previous movies. So, like, even in the first Iron Man movie, the group that kidnapped Tony Stark out in the desert, That was also part of the Ten Rings.
Wait, really?
Yeah.
Ooh.
Oh, I didn't know that.
You can see if you look back at the like the hostage video that they have with Tony Stark, and in the background you can see the Ten Rings logo.
Oh shit.
Interesting.
Yeah, fuck those guys, man. Those were pricks.
You guys were pricks.
So they're like legit been behind a lot of stuff.
Interesting. Cool.
That's a great tie back. How far back do they plan the Ten Rings?
Well,
it's like all comics and stuff, right?
A lot. Here's the secret to the Marvel Universe is what you do is you just sprinkle a little bit here and there and you don't worry about it. And then 10 years from now, someone can be like, I'm going to pick up this sprinkle and I'm going to turn it into a whole ass cupcake.
I see.
Well, that was like a really crazy way of explaining that.
So I think when it happened in Iron Man, it was just like a throwaway reference. They were like, oh yeah, let it be the Ten Rings, whatever. It's something from the comics. And then now they're like, oh no, we should actually do something with the Ten Rings.
That's dope. Okay, cool.
So like Ten Rings wasn't in the comics or anything. It was not established. They just like the name Ten Rings from back then, someone took it.
No, the Ten Rings is a comic thing. It's a little different, but the organization is a comic thing.
Okay.
Next thing that I really enjoyed, and this is just like overall, I guess, for the movie, but I kind of really liked Awkwafina in this movie. I feel like
she did great.
I'm not usually a huge Awkwafina fan, but yeah, she did great in this movie.
Wait, who was Awkwafina?
I think she was the perfect balance. His best friend, Katie.
Ah, okay.
She was like a good balance of like a friend who's like, what the literal fuck is happening?
Yeah. Mm. And you could like feel like, because they say in the movie they've been like friends for 10 years. And
they had a really good relationship.
Yeah, I feel like you can feel the strength of their friendship throughout the movie.
Silence.
I wanted to see how long that could go. You should have seen me. I had my like hands up. I was like doing like a spooky movie. I was like, ooh. Okay.
I was like,
well, I finished my sentence. So I was waiting for one of you to say something.
Well, we have nothing. I had nothing to say to it.
It was good. It was a good sentence, the closer, and I didn't know where to go from after that.
Just move on to your next point.
Cool sentence, bro.
Let's see. I think that, you know, I'll take it a little bit more back. When he was like, I'm looking for this thing, I want more, and I know this like secret thing, and they go, you know, through the forest and whatnot. And then he like finds like the entrance by himself because he walked through the forest somehow. I don't know exactly how that worked, but
right. Hold on, pause. Because why is everyone driving through this damn forest if it keeps whacking your little car everywhere? Can't you just like walk through the shit? Or like,
I thought about
that
as well.
The trees are moving so fast.
Yeah,
I
feel like
in the face.
Yeah, if one of those trees hit you while you were walking, it would probably knock you the fuck out. So
I guess you can't just like hold on to a tree that's moving and just like coast through the forest.
I don't think so.
I guess like a tree branch or something might hit you and you'd like literally like your head would get like chopped, like schlopped off, I guess, if it's going so fast.
Yeah, yeah. But what I was going there with that was
continue.
I think that the entrance to the village, that it was a beautiful, beautiful scene, like the whole area with like the pond coming through, like the peaceful tranquility displays, like the open area,
yeah,
with nature. And then I think the fight was actually one of the more interesting fights in the movie.
Their little like falling in love fight.
Yeah, yeah. I a lot of the fights in the movie I actually didn't enjoy, weirdly enough. Like, I like my fight scenes, but
okay.
Something about them, quite a few of them in the movie, just didn't rub me maybe the wrong way that I think back at it. Like, while I was sitting there, I was like, sure, you know, fight scenes, but maybe it was a little bit more, a little too forced with some of the, I don't know, powers that you can display. Although I did think those were beautiful. Like that fight between her and him when they were falling in love.
Yeah.
And like her using basically, I don't know, not...
Her wind and earth and like whatever and then, power.
Yeah, and he was just brute force and muscle.
Yeah.
And those two clashing, I thought was extremely beautiful, extremely well done, and all that stuff.
Yeah,
I wish in their fight scene when he was getting smacked around, he had a little bit of blood on his forehead or something. Because like, bro, there ain't like just because you have rings and you don't get hurt because you use the rings doesn't mean your actual body can't get hurt.
I don't know. They don't really go into depth on like how much power the rings give you. So like he may actually have like physically stronger skin.
Yeah.
I guess so. Also, they don't really go in on like how he becomes immortal.
Yeah,
like,
they said the rings give you eternal life.
So when you wear them once, that's it. You have eternal life. Or like when you take them off, you age.
I think just while you're wearing them.
Okay, so he aged when he had them off with his family.
Right.
Which makes sense because he looked a little older.
Yeah.
Okay.
But yeah, I really liked most of the fight scenes in movie, just because I think, especially because a lot of it was like, obviously aside from like the flying around and like throwing electric rings and shit at each other. Oh, you okay?
Hold on. Yeah, hold on. Astrid's here. I didn't even notice.
Hi, Astrid.
Hi. Are you guys still recording?
Yeah, we're recording.
Do you want to say hi on the podcast? Yes.
Hello.
Hello.
Sorry for interruption.
I cannot believe this.
Honestly, get her out of here. Kick her out right now. I'm
hungry.
We just have mac and cheese.
Anyways.
That sounds good.
Well, I've had like 3 bites of mine because I'm not trying to eat.
Oh, sorry if that was annoying. I ate all of my mac and cheese.
I have like a whole bag of chips downstairs, and I like wish I could open it and just eat it, but it'd be
that's
so crackly.
The crunchiest fucking food, bro.
I know.
That mac and cheese, I literally just didn't chew. I was just like quietly put it in my mouth and swallowed.
Anyways, as I was saying, I think a lot of the previous Marvel movies, like, I don't know, I like seeing new stuff, and because this is more martial arts focused, it was more exciting. Because before, a lot of the fighting was like just punches and kicks, or like people with guns, or people that have like weird laser powers, and they're just like shooting energy balls at each other. But I like seeing the actual martial arts in this one.
Yeah, I like that it was like cool, like different style fighting.
I mean, there were still powers involved though.
The powers were like village. Amplifying the actual fighting. You know what I mean? Like they would like, he'd throw a punch and the rings would come off and like hit the person, but like he's still punching. Yeah. He's not just like using a weird crystal in his head to shoot people, or like, oh, I have a laser blaster in
That's
my hand.
That's fair. I mean, he did put a little bit more movement into it, but still, like, you know, like imagine just like throwing your fist forward, and all of a sudden, like, poof, you know, you could just fucking destroy anyone in front of you. That's pretty crazy. It's kind of like Iron Man.
Speaking of fighting,
Iron Man had to like stick his arm out and like move, you know.
Yeah, but that's like posing. He's not punching. He could slowly stick his arm out and still shoot someone.
Hey, maybe if he like threw a slow punch, the rings would move slower.
Yeah, I think so.
I don't know, man. But honestly, I'm surprised that this is your favorite fight, because my favorite fight is the freaking fight.
No, that was my favorite fight. I said it was a good fight. It was a beautiful
fight. Okay. Well, the bus fight
scene
was
fucking amazing.
Yeah, that's
dope.
It's also because they also had like a good amount of comedy of like the passengers being stupid, but then also It was realistic of her response.
Yeah, that was the freaking guy recording the whole time.
Live streaming. He's like, "Hey, yo, what's up? It's me again. I'm gonna rate this fight 1 out of 10. I did karate back when I was younger, so."
Yeah, he said. He said when I was a youth.
Yeah, that was a good one. I fucking loved.
I also like that they actually took his pendant still, because it wasn't like, yeah, he did it and he can never be defeated. It's like, no, look, he got tricked and his pendant still got taken.
Yeah, it was a sneaky grab.
It was like a choke slash grab. You know, he didn't even know until it was too late. But yeah, I mean, when the dude like stood up in the back after, you know, he beat up all the little guys, and then he like glowing knife sword came out of his arm, that was pretty fucking sick.
Yeah, I would shit my pants. I'm like,
yeah, I don't even know where that came from or how it fit in there within his arm. I don't understand it.
I don't know, man.
It's fine.
Also, a little detail that I enjoyed is that, so he beat up all the small guys and then he starts fighting Razor Fist, and then like after a while the other guys like get back up, and I feel like a lot of movies don't do that. It'd be like, once you beat someone, they're like out for the rest of the fight.
Which is good, because I'm like, yeah, but it was one like punch.
He fought the big guy for a while, and then the other guys were like, okay, no, I'm good again. Let's try to.
Because it's not a take, it's a try.
Try to.
But yeah, that scene was pretty great. And then I also liked that, you know, because his best friend, whose name I forgot,
Katie. Gosh. It's like the goodness. Easiest like name ever.
Yeah, it's not enough capacity for my brain to remember that. Anyway, Katie, I think it was funny because they introduced them and they were like all like, you know, like whatever people, and of course this movie is sponsored by BMW.
Oh yeah, that was another thing I was gonna say, is we've talked in the past about like, yeah, a lot of the previous Marvel movies have been like Audi, 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 and this one's like
BMW. Yeah.
Honestly, did not notice.
Oh, I noticed that right off the bat. I was like, oh, look, they're being sponsored by BMWs. Electric BMWs at that.
I did not realize they were all one company.
Yeah, the Razor Fist SUV that they use at the end of the movie is a BMW iX3.
The electric version. That's why I was making that weird sound, the whining sound. But anyway, during that fight, I thought it was funny because when they introduced Katie and, you know, yeah, when they introduced Katie,
she
got into the BMW and like was driving it around like a fucking badass, you know, like a god. She was driving that thing, and then when the bus scene came around, she also took the driver's seat and like, you know, did a great job driving the bus. Yeah. And then, by the way, I don't know if you guys caught this, but the point where the bus was already sawed in half, I believe, she was on the left side of the dump truck and she drove straight over a BMW XI, which is like a really, I think it's the XI, really expensive electric BMW, and they just fucking destroyed it, which hurt a little bit, but yeah.
It's for the movie. It's
for the movie, yeah. That's what they got a big budget for.
We
didn't even talk about budget. What was the budget of this movie?
You are right, we did not. Let's go ahead and throw that in there. This movie had an estimated budget of $200 million, and it made about $432 million.
Not a lot. Double, I mean, like 2x.
Yeah, it's double, and it's like we've talked about before, the smaller ones never make as much. It's not going to, a non-Avengers movie is not going to make like $2 billion.
True, yeah. Yeah, but I mean, for how good it was, you know, I would have thought.
Yeah, but it's also a new character, so like,
they're not,
people
like, waiting
don't
at the edge.
No, people don't know who it is. Yeah, people aren't like, oh my gosh, I can't wait to see Shang-Chi, because they don't know who the fuck that is. I also liked I feel like everyone in Shang's family was like also. I feel like especially his sister Xia Ling, I think is her name. I feel like she could have been such a like nothing side character, like, oh, this is the sister and she's just like in the background, but you get so many scenes with her, and like even in the flashbacks it's like showing you like, oh, this is what was happening with her while he was training and all that stuff. I feel like she feels like a really fleshed out like complex character, and she has like her own storyline running parallel to Shang-Chi's story.
I feel like she could have gotten more.
I mean, yeah, she could have gotten more, but she, I
I thought
this was any other movie, I would have expected her to have way less.
Yeah, I guess so. And I feel like it was a dick move of the town to like focus on him more, because I was like, she's just as much the daughter as he is the son.
The village.
I also feel like she was at the end. Like when he first got there, she like made sure to hold his hand longer and be like, "You look just like your mother." But like the whole reason why his dad didn't even talk to her was because she looked so much like her mother. And then on like the dragon thing, I guess she like rode the dragon, but I feel like they could have made a bigger point of the fact that like she was chosen to ride the dragon too, because like they both have dragon hearts or something. They had like a
serious moment of eye contact, her and that dragon.
Hmm? Wait, what?
There was all the little demon things were like clawing at the dragon's eye, and then she freaking got him off, and then the dragon flew over to her, and they were like, ooh, and then that's when she started riding the dragon.
Yeah, like eye contact, because she saved life, basically. Yeah.
Honestly, y'all cut out a lot, so I don't know.
All right. And then also, Wenwu, his dad. I'm going to keep saying it every time, but I love a good complex villain. I think it's very easy to see how, yes, he is power hungry and definitely a little sexist, and like he has a lot of problems, but at his core, like his entire bad guy-ness in this movie is just because he is unable to let go of the past, and he's just like has so much grief from the loss of his wife, and so you like can kind of sympathize with him a little bit. And I feel like it especially helps that because obviously he tells his kids, he's like, I've been hearing your mother's voice and she needs us to save her. And I feel like, yes, in the back of our minds we know that she's not still alive, but if they had just like had him saying it, it would have been very easy to be like, oh, he's just like crazy. But then they show us I think like two or three times, like from his perspective, her talking to him or like hallucinating that she's next to him and stuff like that. And I feel like that really helps to understand his mindset and be like, okay, no, he's like, he's not crazy. He's just actually being like manipulated by this demon thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's like one of the hard parts is that the movie was very, I feel like if people have like dad issues or, you know, something like that going on in their family, mm-hmm. and they watch this movie, it hits at such a deeper level than I think you're prepared for at like weird times. And like this mm-hmm. dad thinking that he's doing the right thing and just like almost being a narcissist and pushing through with everything that he thinks is right. And if you don't agree with him, he'll lock you up like he did with them
kind of thing.
I feel like, if you have a narcissist or if you know a narcissist or someone that's, you know, along those lines of thinking that they know what they're doing and they'll do anything to protect their, you know, their character or how people look at him, her or him, this movie will resonate with you a lot, like a lot.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know where I was going with that, but yeah.
I think you arrived. I think this movie does a very good job of, I think, exploring the relationship between both of them and their father. And you can especially see how he obviously favors Shang-Chi and like doesn't pay any attention to his daughter, and like he's
interesting, right?
Like emotionally abusive.
Oh, absolutely. Emotionally abusive. Yeah. But I think it's interesting because they said that, or she said that he ignores her and like doesn't talk to her, look at her, because he reminds her of his wife, his late wife.
Right.
But then when they go to the mother's village, the aunt
or
the sister of the late wife looked mm-hmm. at Shang-Chi and was like, hey, you look just like your mother.
Yeah, that's what I was saying.
I'm sure they both look like their mother.
Right, true, but she should have said it for both. I don't know. But yeah, good points. We like that.
Yeah, that's why I was saying, like, it's weird that they're literally, like, changing it constantly to be, like, eyes on him. Because I feel like there's no reason to.
I mean, he's also the main character of the movie.
Yeah, but they should have made it somehow then. There's a reason why he's, like, the main character or something. Because it looked like she's a motherfucking good-ass fighter, too. So it's like...
That is true. Sure. Like,
why is it that he was exactly chosen? Why is his heart more of a dragon? Or, like, I don't know.
I think just because like he has more of a connection with his dad.
For 10 years. and she lived with his dad longer and been fighting this whole entire time. So she should technically even be a better fighter.
Well, it's not about who's a better fighter. I think the whole point is that Wenwu cared more about Shang, and because the relationship, and like at the end when he hands off the rings, like, yes, it's stupid that he doesn't care about his daughter, but obviously he doesn't care that much about his daughter, so he's not going to give the rings to her.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Well, and I think he also kind of took a lead role.
Also that.
I think he also took kind of a lead role because the mother and him had like that bond connection, and she was actually the one that told him, like, you have the heart of a dragon kind of thing.
And she taught him, think, like, because obviously the falling in love scene, whatever, in the beginning, like, you see the countering of, like, Wenwu has a very, like, hard martial arts, and he's, like, these powerful punch, and, like, if this was Avatar, Wenwu would be an earthbender. Like, he's all about those power moves, but, like, in order to counter that, their mom was, and their aunt, and then eventually taught it to Shang-Chi, is like, in order to counter his power moves, you have to use this like soft, flowy sort of martial arts.
Yeah, which, I mean, his mom did actually teach him already, but he just didn't know where to apply it.
Right.
Yeah. Which, I like the flowy martial arts way better than the brute force, at least
in
this movie.
It was kind of badass in a couple scenes, though.
Yeah, I was like, yeah. I kind of like the, like, bow.
Bow.
I mean, it's definitely badass, but, yeah, you know.
Another quick thing is when they, after he finally does get the pendants, the whole thing where he puts him in the little dragon statue, and then the water scene. Oh my god, the water was amazing.
The water scene was so beautiful.
Wait, which water scene?
Where he puts the necklaces in the dragon, and then all the water, honestly, like, bursts out of the wall.
It was cool, but like, I thought it was stupid, because like, you're telling me secretly she set up this whole ass water thing with no magic that she doesn't have anymore, because she doesn't get magic when she leaves, so she has no magic, but she somehow made this dragon magic thing.
Well, I think that she doesn't have magic. That doesn't mean nothing has magic.
Okay, so the stones have magic, but then she...
Yeah.
What architect came from and made this magic stone dragon head without the husband knowing?
It just doesn't sound realistic.
You're asking too many fucking questions.
I'm just saying, I thought the whole time I was watching it, I was like, this is stupid. You're not telling me this mom made this whole entire water feature in their home.
I fully believe that.
Because in the beginning, when she gives Shang the necklace, she says, if you ever feel lost, just remember that this will help you get home. And she like looks him in the eye and she's like, tell me that you will remember that. And he's like, okay, I'll remember. Like, she knew.
Yeah, I know, but I'm like, I'm not saying she didn't know. Obviously she was the one who made it, but I'm saying, like, how? Just how did that happen?
There are literally aliens and magic people all over this place, and you're like, who made this dragon wall?
There's literally a little thing without a face running around with little wings on it.
Follow-up question. How does it eat? How is it pooping?
Did you not hear in the movie he doesn't like people talking about that?
Okay, well, as a future vet, I need to know. Okay, I need to
know. Maybe he photosynthesizes.
So he's a plant?
They just photosynthesize. Yeah, like the wings are like solar panels.
Yeah, it could be. You don't know.
Okay, well, he was in a cave trapped as a prisoner. So
maybe they had a UV light.
Or is he like a succulent?
They had UV lights in there, bro. What the fuck?
Any light source will help. That's why he's so chunky. He's like a camel. All of that fat is just like stored food. Mm-hmm. So you can like last for a long time without eating.
Years. Millions of years.
Millions of years. All right. I'll take it.
Anyway, never mind how the dragon thing was made. It looked super dope.
It did look fucking sick. Like, the water was in the air and then he like pushed it, you know, like as if you're in space. And then all the water fell and turned into like these trees, and then you know, the gold thing came and led the way, and it was really fucking cool. I like the map perspective. It's different than anything that's ever happened in the Marvel universe, because usually it's like all tech and Tony Stark being genius and all that shit, but now it's like Elena just complaining of wanting to know how it was made. Never once do you question the technology, and all of a sudden you see this really cool, beautiful, magical thing, and you question it so hard.
Yeah, I do, because
I want to bounce back a little bit. I have something else to bring up, but I'll go back for a second, because we were talking about how badass of a fighter Xia Ling is, and just wanted to take a sec because we never talked about her little like underground fight club thing.
Yeah. Oh yeah, we just rolled right past that. Unfortunate.
And that was also super dope.
It was okay.
I feel like it was chill.
I think they could have done more with it, but I guess the scenes were not super exciting, but the setting was really cool. Like I liked like everything was like graffiti on the walls, and there's like these cages with the like smaller fights, and they're like, nah, that's the big ring up there.
Yeah. No, I did like that a lot. I think it was Chewie is destroying my leg.
He's like, pay attention to me, father.
She.
Sorry. Okay, that's what you get for calling it a boy name. You know how hard that would. You know what your cat would get a label on the kennel at the freaking clinic? Is a giant freaking label that says, don't be fooled, it's a girl.
Good. This is my baby girl. Her name is Rick.
Honestly. But worse, because the character name that was so famous is a boy.
Yeah.
So it's like calling it Han or Luke.
Nothing wrong. Nothing wrong
Luke
with
Skywalker.
That.
This is Luke Skywalker. Luke Skywalker. She's a girl.
Yo, Chewie is not a man's name. It is an either.
But Chewbacca
either gender.
Is a dude though.
Her name is Chewie. Okay,
that's a nickname, and you know it.
You know it's from Chewbacca. And everyone else's heart knows it, and so our heart gets confused.
No, you are putting that on her. Don't start.
Don't start.
Also, Chewbacca could also be a girl's name. Fuck you.
But it's not.
You don't know if it's a dude. Where do they ever claim his
they
gender? They don't. No, they don't. They say Chewbacca.
You're ridiculous. Let's move on. Did you recognize Luca?
No!
Did you recognize the two characters that were fighting when they walked in?
I did, yeah. They were from the fighting rink.
Helpful.
So it sounds like you don't know.
No, I recognize them. I just didn't know where from. Like,
so
which
one
movie
of
were they from?
The dude is the High Emperor, whatever thing person from Doctor
the
Strange.
Sorcerer Supreme.
Yeah, Sorcerer Supreme. And then the other one is, he's in
The Abomination.
Yeah, Abomination.
And
he's in She-Hulk as well.
Well, yeah, She-Hulk takes place after this, though. But Abomination was originally in the first Incredible Hulk movie.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
But yeah, so those two people.
Yeah, I did like the rinks, though. Like, the little cages they had where, like, fights were going
also,
on and people
were
betting
and
stuff.
Also, they said they were low level, but, like, some of them people were, like, fighting hard.
Well, the one of them was, like, I think it was, like, a Black Widow fighting someone with the Extremis virus, which... the Extremis virus is something from Iron Man 3, which we also did not cover, but that is also where Trevor Slattery comes from, who is the person that they find in the cave with the little wingy creature thing.
Yeah.
So I've probably asked this before, but have you seen Iron Man 3 before?
I believe I have, yes.
So in Iron Man 3, there's this thing called Extremis, and it gives people like super intense powers. But like after a while, it like puts so much energy into their body that they like literally explode.
Did he explode?
Oh yeah. I have seen that. Yes.
Yeah, and also in that movie, there is a bad guy called the Mandarin, and it is initially you're led to believe that it's this guy Trevor, but then later you find out that it was like someone else behind the scenes, and Trevor was just hired as an actor to play the part of the Mandarin.
Mm. Oh, and that's why they even talked about how he was named after an orange, how that was stupid, right?
Yeah. And I do think this is like kind of I guess it's more on the negative side. It's like half neutral, half negative. I'm fine with the idea of Trevor being there because it makes sense that like he said, he was like, he was impersonating Wenwu, and so obviously he's like, well, we gotta capture this guy and kill him. And then he said like he was such a good actor that they decided to let him like just be there
as
be their entertainment. And so I'm like, I think that all makes sense and that's fine with me. And he's like funny on his own, which is also okay. But the one thing that I just like, I don't know, just really was not my vibe is the idea that he somehow learned to speak to that animal. Like this little thing is just like squeaking and he's just like, oh yeah, I know exactly what he's saying.
Yeah.
I was like, that's kind of ridiculous.
You're like, that's bullshit. I call bullshit.
I call bullshit on that one.
So you can call bullshit on that one?
Yes, because it makes sense for someone to build a wall. It doesn't make sense for someone to suddenly know how to speak to a magical creature.
Feels fishy.
Fishy. Let's see.
Another thing, since I'm like kind of on the negative side now, I really didn't like the Death Dealer character, which was he was the one who trained Shang-Chi, the one in like the blue outfit with the mask
on.
Weird,
yeah.
Fucking crazy clown looking mask.
I felt like he was like such a waste of a character. Like they made him seem like he was going to be super important. And then he has like one tiny fight and then that's it
to him or something. Yeah. I guess so that we could just see that he was the best one and he couldn't defeat him. And then he like ends up still defeating him. You know,
it just like felt like such a waste. I feel like they could have done more with him.
Yeah, there's only so much movie time, though.
Fair.
That is also true. Yeah.
And then that also gives them an opportunity if they really wanted to like draw it out, they can make a show about it or some shit.
All right. Well, all the rest of my notes are in the third act. So if y'all got anything in the first two thirds,
oh, I've been skipping around. Let's see. I didn't even think about staying in one.
I mean, we don't have to go in order.
I mean, do we want to talk about Trevor Slattery?
I think we just did. We can talk more about him.
Yeah. So what do you guys think about him being the jester, basically?
I mean, I was fine with that.
I was like, Kevin literally just answered my question.
Did I miss that?
Yeah.
You just weren't listening to me at all.
Maybe. I was reading my notes when you were talking about that.
I'm doing physics homework right now at the same time, and I heard that.
Wait, I thought we were talking about...
How did you feel about him being the jester?
Okay, wait. Then we already talked about the Morris forest creature as well.
Yeah, and we talked about how did he speak to him
earlier.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, that was the tangent right there. Okay.
We done had this whole conversation. You're like, but let me talk about this.
Well, let me talk about him again. So let me bring him up again because we're already talking about him. And
okay.
I thought it was fucking hilarious at the end. After like their big fight, Elena, you just ruined my punchline.
Sorry.
I cannot believe this. I mean, the viewers don't know, and now you just said it.
Remember that one time he was playing dead?
Oh, okay. Next then. That is unbelievable.
No, Luca, what happened? What happened at the end of him?
Nah. It's over.
No,
it's done.
Like, so funny.
You said it. You know, it's over.
Okay, so I will say I, for the most part, really did not like the third act of this movie. I think I like really, really liked it up until they got to Talo, and then things just started falling apart real quick, in my opinion.
Really?
Yeah.
Wait, why? Why do you say that? Like what?
Well, I'll start with the small stuff. So like the fact that they said... Oh, before your mom died, she knew that you guys would reach the village eventually, so she asked us to make you outfits.
Oh,
and
yeah.
Then somehow the outfits fit them perfectly, even though it's been years. Like, how did they know what size they were going to be? They were literal children.
Why does it matter if the mom made them specific outfits? Why can't they just wear, like, how Katie just wore a normal-ass outfit?
Because then it's more sentimental, because it's from their mom.
But it literally doesn't matter.
I don't have a problem with that part. I just think it's stupid that they fit them perfectly.
No, I thought it was stupid that the mom was like, you know what I'm going to do? Nothing else but this little outfit for you. I thought it was dumb.
That's all right.
The outfits are extremely powerful, though. I mean, the whole outfit was...
Oh, yeah, because they were made with the dragon scales.
Oh, mm-hmm. I didn't know that. They look so bendy. Dragon scales are not bendy.
Bish, I don't know. It's magic.
Have you ever met a
dragon?
They ground
them up and then, like, soak them. I don't know.
What if dragon scales are bendy?
You've never met a dragon?
I didn't see no seams on it either.
Bruh.
Feels fishy.
Feels fishy. Okay, so I will say, speaking of dragons, when Wenwu punches Shang into the water and he's like drowning, and then all those like bubbles hit him in the face, and then the like dragon comes out and like swirls around him in the water, I was like, super, super beautiful shot. Love that. Gorgeous. I feel like all of the other dragon shit after that, I absolutely hated.
Hated? Damn.
Hated.
Wow. That's...
I feel like I think this movie would have been better if it was just like the dragon saved him from drowning and maybe like boosted his power, like gave him some more magic or something in order to like fight his dad. But I feel like this whole movie was like building up this like family drama and like the battle between him and his father. And then it like the last 30 minutes turn into like, oh, well, guess what? Dad died. And now it's just these two dragon things fighting each other. And I was like, I don't give a single shit about these two dragon things. I was here for Shang-Chi to fight his dad. That's what I wanted.
Yeah, but they had to like find some way for the thing to like fight. And also we needed that to watch him use his new little ringies.
But he did use his new little ringies to fight his dad.
No, but then we needed to see him use it like for good now. Like, he's a superhero. Look at him. He's using a little ring.
Well, I didn't like it. I thought it was dumb.
Mm.
It was like, the fight between him and his dad was like super meaningful. I feel like it would have made more sense
if like his dad ended up helping him and the dragons, and then he died in the fight with the dragons together and him.
Maybe.
Yeah.
That probably would have been better. If his dad died immediately.
Yeah, I feel like his dad should have had a little more of a redeeming moment and then died.
Yeah, just... I didn't like all the dragon stuff.
I feel that.
I don't know.
And
one of the more beautiful dragon parts, because we're talking about dragons.
Yeah.
Was when Shang-Chi got busted out by his dad into the water and like floated down, and then you know all those bubbles came up, and then like the dragon, like very faintly you could see the dragon like come up and then see its face and swirling around him. I thought that was a really fucking cool
bro
part.
Are you just like literally not listening to me at all, because I already said that too?
Oh my gosh.
Oh, okay.
Lucas.
No, I am though.
The first fucking thing I said.
Dude, do I not like hear you then? I don't know.
You're so hungry, you're fainting.
I think so, bro. My stomach has been gurgling over here.
The first thing I said was I really liked all the underwater dragon stuff.
Especially
I said all of the
part where the dragon.
Yeah, I said when he was circling around him underwater, that was beautiful, and I loved it. And then I said everything after that.
Okay.
I hated.
I might actually be too hungry. I don't know.
It's okay. We're almost
okay,
through the movie.
Okay, but so every other dragon scene you said you hated.
After the dragon exits the water, I didn't like anything anymore.
Mm. Even like that end scene where the other dragon was like sucking the soul orb out of the other one?
No, that was dumb.
Mm, really? I don't know.
I didn't like it.
I think it gave like a lot of tension.
I feel like there was,
I thought it was
enough,
it was a
tension
good setup.
With... Like, well, because the dragon just got introduced, like, I have no emotional connection to this dragon. So for me, like, watching all of the, like, tiny little dragons go into the village and, like, kill those people, like, even the like, quick little thing where the old guy that was helping Katie learn how to bow and arrow,
he
was like, all right, deep breath. Yeah, and then with one of the tiny ones sucked
well,
his soul
guy.
Out. That guy dying was more... dramatic to me than the
what?
Dragon almost dying, because
no,
I don't
shot.
Give a single shit about the dragon.
I didn't give a single shit
yeah,
about that
really
guy either.
About
he,
the dragon either.
She was
no, that's what I'm saying. I also don't give a shit about that guy, but I give a tiny little bit more shit than I do about the dragon. That's how little of a shit I give about the dragon.
Yeah, we're at differing sides there. I don't know. I thought the dragon was beautiful.
I thought the dragon was dope, and like talked about the dragon about how it saved them the first time, so it made sense that the dragon came and helped.
Yeah, and like dragons have a lot of meaning in Chinese culture, mm-hmm. So I think it was beautiful that a dragon came and helped them, which is what they were, you know, heart of a dragon, and the eyes were the dragon, and then at the end when they needed him the most, the dragon came
out
from, you know, his lair or wherever that is.
I feel like it was more effective for me when it was like the dragon was like a background character. Like they kept talking about like, oh, the dragon gives us our powers, or like his mom was like, when Shang asked his mom earlier in the movie, like, how did you beat dad because he had the rings and you didn't, and she was like, oh, well, I had powers from our dragon protector. It was like the dragon helps them that way. I don't think the dragon needed to physically help them.
That's your thought, and I think you're wrong.
I see what you're doing there, and I'm not falling for it.
Yeah. Elena leaves immediately.
She gone? Good. Nice.
And
okay.
then I also, not only did I not like the whole dragon fight, but the fact that Katie after practicing bow and arrow for literally less than a day.
Oh, that was the stupidest thing in the whole world.
Gets
that part.
The fucking bullseye shot on homie's neck.
Also, physically,
I was like,
how are she? Did
nonsense.
She make her arrow go that far? It can't go like gravity involved. It can, there's no way it went up.
Have
in the
you
air
ever
wind.
Shot an arrow?
Yes.
Wait, have you ever
I
shot
do.
An arrow?
I own a bow and arrow.
Well, obviously, you're not very good at shooting it then.
And you can shoot it? You're telling me you can shoot it at like a skyscraper level with strong wind, with aliens
it,
flying
where,
in there.
Where's the strong wind? What the fuck?
With strong wind and a snowstorm.
And he was a
no
mile away.
And the dragon and everything, they're moving around, putting more gusts of wind out into the air.
Yeah, it was that shot was stupid as
it
shit.
It was stupid.
I don't know. I think it was cute. I'm on the side of this movie this time, even though maybe it wasn't the best film scene.
I'm literally
well thought
like
through.
85% on the side of this movie. I love every single bit of this movie up until the dragon comes out of the water.
I don't know. I think it was very good symbolism, and I think they worked well together as a team with the dragon. Especially, like, how else are they supposed to beat the other dragon? Like, the other dragon
shouldn't have been there either.
Well,
that was the whole thing of the evil shit.
Yeah.
What else was supposed to be back there? Like, it didn't have to break out. We already knew it was back there because of all the little tiny ones.
Well, the dad didn't, and that's how the dad died.
Yeah, I know. And we were just talking about how I think that was stupid as well. The dad shouldn't have died like that.
No, he definitely should have died like that. You fucking karma, bitch.
Nah.
Later,
how did
GGs.
You want him to die?
I wanted either some. I mean, I guess I didn't want Shang-Chi to kill him, but.
No. He wanted Shang-Chi to die. Fucking knew it.
But I wanted them to. I wanted their fight to be resolved because Shang-Chi either beat him or like talked him down, like talk sense into him and like connect with his dad on an emotional level and be like,
ooh.
Hey, I know you really miss your wife, but she's not back there. And maybe like his redeeming moment could be him realizing like, hey, you see all those things sucking souls out of people? Maybe my wife isn't behind this door. Maybe I'm wrong. Ooh. Good job, son, for talking to me instead of random alien dragon comes out and sucks my soul.
Wow,
that was a
dude.
Dumb way for him to go out.
You really wanted this movie to be a therapy session.
Honestly, much cheaper though.
True. I don't know. I don't think the dad was ever in the right mindset to live. I think he deserved fully to die after a thousand years of killing people. There could have been
other ways to kill him.
I don't know. I think it was fitting though, because that's the one thing that he thought was good, which is what he was going for the whole time, and then he got fucked by it. After like his son tried to stop him multiple times there and prior to, and the dad just locked him up like an animal.
Yeah, I didn't like it. That's all I got to say about it.
I don't know. I mean, your method of like just talk him out of it, that would have been just so boring.
And then
at the end they just hug?
That would have been awesome for me. They don't have to hug. I'm not trying to make it like a fucking soap opera.
I mean, it kind of sounds like it. I don't know.
I just care
I
more about
like
the emotional core
like
of the movie instead of
the
random
way,
action scenes.
But like stupid
I don't know.
Dragon soul dead is also not the way.
Look, I was watching this movie with Sydney, and when the dad died, she started crying. So I think it was a very good emotional part that they added into the movie.
Damn, I have no feelings about that.
I literally, I have told you literally I'll watch a Marvel movie and cry 5 fucking times.
Yeah.
I did not feel a single thing when he got his soul sucked out.
Yeah, I don't know. She did. I didn't either. I was like, damn, am I tripping? Do I have something wrong? But I think it hits different people differently.
Yeah, for sure. I'm not saying like everyone has to enjoy the movie the same way. I'm just saying
maybe that's all daddy
that
issues
part.
For us. Watch us
maybe.
Dad die, none of us cries. Okay.
all of us have daddy issues, but Cayman wants to resolve his daddy issues, and Elena and Luca just want to kill their dads.
Oh my god, don't put that shit out there, bro. Oh no. Hell no. I mean, I don't know. He deserved it, is all I'm saying. The dad deserved what he had coming, and he knew it too. He was like, oh, fuck. All right, well, I'm going to do what I can, and then you just get fucking destroyed.
Yeah.
Let's see here. There was a fight scene between the dad and the son, which I just thought was so fucking dumb. And again, it was like a Harry Potter scene all over where the two,
you
the
saying
five
you don't like
gold
Harry
rings.
Potter?
No, I love Harry Potter, but these movies keep taking from it. All right, and
what,
I don't appreciate
do?
It.
What are
when
you talking
the two
about?
Rings, the gold rings and then the blue rings, and they were like you know, grappling each other, and they were like, it was like this moment where like the blue and the gold were together and intertwined. And
no, that didn't, I mean, I guess I see where you're coming from, but that did not remind me of Harry Potter at all.
Oh, it 100% did for me. I was like, ugh, here we go again, like the blue and the red, but it was,
I mean,
gold,
yeah, I guess the colors are the same.
Wait,
but like in Harry Potter,
red,
they're like
gold.
No, it was gold and red. It was gold and blue. Yeah. But still, oh, yeah, same shit.
But like, I feel like in Harry Potter, they're like zapping like that weird like zippy liquidy lava looking shit at each other.
I mean, here they did like the lasso thing. That's when they connected.
Was pretty freaking
right, but they're like in
like
Harry Potter,
each other,
the,
it was weird.
Their energy is going towards each other in Harry Potter, and in this one, they're like pulling against each other. So it's a little different.
Okay.
I definitely
didn't
get any Harry Potter vibes, but it was still just kind of like, okay.
Plus, I feel like the stuff in Harry Potter was like way drawn out. Like every time they did that, it was like a slow-mo scene. I feel like this one, they connected rings, they pulled for like 2 seconds, and then they started doing different fight moves.
Yeah,
like it wasn't a big deal.
It was, I don't know. Yeah, I mean, I can see it wasn't as drawn out, but still kind of annoying. Because they did that in the last Avengers movie, the one we literally watched before this one. There was something like that in there too, and I was like, okay, cool. Yeah, but when the sun came out of the smoke with the rings, all 10 of them swirling,
oh, yeah, that was
sexy.
That was fucking sick. I was like, oh, he said she ain't got no nipples, you know, Kevin Hart, but rings. Yeah, no, I was like, I was going crazy when I saw that. It was really cool. And the dad was like, whoa. And then he had the chance to fuck his dad up, and they just threw the rings at the ground.
I think that should have been a really good time for his dad to also be like, oh my
get
gosh.
Offed.
But then he got snuffled.
Yeah, see, that's what I'm saying. Like, I feel like there are two ways that could have gone. Either he has the big, like, Kamehameha ball, and he, like, literally blasts his dad, and his dad flies off into the water.
That would have been awesome, too. Just kill his dad right there, like,
but then once he, like, throws the rings on the ground, I'm like, okay, he's trying to, like, talk it out. And I'm like, fucking talk it out then. But then they didn't talk it out.
Well, yeah, but the dad could have just bent down and grabbed the rings again and gone back to evil dad plan, right?
Also, I mean, his dad straight up tried to kill him like a lot. Like it was like, whoa, he like did not
care. He sent all of his assassins after him, and he was like, yeah, you can try to kill him, but I don't think you'll be able to.
Right.
And then he was like, oh, good, you didn't die.
Yeah,
nice.
Like I feel like honestly that made sense to me, because I'm like, yeah, no, if you're that twisted in your head and you think that you trained your son that much.
Yeah, he's like so confident in his son, and he's so confident in his own ability to train his son. He's like, nah, go ahead and use all of your power, because you're not going to do anything.
But then the part I'm talking about is when he physically drowns his child and then knocks him against the wall with 10 rings and like all this stuff that a normal human being, I like, bro, I trip and fall, I hit my head on the edge of like a corner and I'm dead. Like there's no way that you smash him with 10 rings against the wall and think, oh, he'll be fine.
No, but didn't you see when he was a little kid, they were like beating the shit out of him with sticks?
Yeah,
he got
pain
thick skin.
Level is like different than physically you're getting you're bleeding
no.
out inside of your body.
Shang's whole body is callous.
Okay. I mean, that's literally the only thing that would make sense, because they also did not bruise these people up enough. Like, I guess he ended up wearing the rings for a little bit, so maybe he wasn't getting bruised anymore. But like, I don't know. I'm just like, make these people look like they are getting like hit and hurt.
Yeah, thank you. I understand that.
Like, give me a sprained ankle. I don't know. Like, give me...
my ankle.
Give me some bruising. Give me some... I don't know, man.
In the middle of a fight, one of them just falls over. They're like, shit, I twisted my ankle.
Or like...
give me a second.
Something. I don't know.
I'm done. I'm so dead.
He did more.
Let's see here.
No, that's fair.
I'm going to kind of skip to the endish then, where Wong came... you know, they were talking with their friends, and then all of a sudden their friends weren't believing them at all.
Yeah.
And then Wong came
like,
and, like,
and then I
the
fought
portal.
This dragon, and then I was way up in the air and I went whoosh, and then it's like, okay, you're making fun of me.
Yeah. But then Wong came and they were like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
I thought that was pretty cool. That was a very cool ending to leave them in awe like that in the restaurant.
Yeah.
Did you see there was two credit scenes on this movie?
I did. Yeah, I saw both of them.
Cool.
Luckily, I was just like hanging out. We were just chatting. All of a sudden, there was the second one. It's like, oh shit, there's another.
Yeah.
Another one.
I also think it was hilarious when he was like, they're ready for you. And she was in a completely different outfit with a different hairstyle. She got all made up and ready. And then she just sat there and like said, let's get started to literally no one because no one was listening or paying attention to her and so far away from her.
There was like five people standing next to her.
I don't know, man. I just feel like.
And that also, that is all she needs to do is like.
And doing things. So why does she have to now
look like a badass and
is, like,
sit on a throne?
They're ready. Like they've been ready, obviously. If they're like fighting.
I mean, yeah, I think she just meant like she's ready. Like she had the moment in her old bedroom and she was like, let me like remember my mom and look at this photo. And she's like, okay, enough with that. Time to get to business.
Also, did you just turn the light off in the dining room?
No.
Just turned off when I blinked. So I like definitely questioned myself for a second. I like rubbed like, my eyes and then it got really dark. And I was like, whoa.
That's funny.
So just sit in the dark. What was the other one? So wait, so she sat in the chair and then what was the other?
The other one was them
talking
about
the
rings.
To the Hulk
with...
and also talking to Marvel Girl or whatever.
Yep.
About the rings because we don't know where the rings
came
from.
Oh yeah, and the next movie is probably going to be about the beacon inside the ring. Well, okay, another question. How long has this beacon been here? He's had it for 1,000 years and that beacon's been going on for 1,000 years. And what, the next movie is going to be about someone responding to the beacon that's been going on for 1,000 years, but they happen to come right when he put it on?
It's way older. It's way older than 1,000 years.
Even point proven even more. This beacon has been going on for like literally, let's say even more dramatic, 10,000 years. And now that he has the rings, they're all worried about it. And now the beacon people are probably
going
to come.
Well, I don't think the beacon has been going on for a long time. I think they said the rings are way older, but they said when Shang-Chi used the rings for the first time, that's when they noticed, because Wong said we felt it all the way in Kamar-Taj. Yeah, so when he used it is when the beacon started.
So maybe only evil people have been using the rings, is with someone with a good like dragon heart or whatever that is. I don't even know, is that just like a feeling, a dragon heart, or is that supposed to be a thing?
I think the heart of the dragon is just like a emotional thing.
Okay.
I don't think there's
so
anything actually
like
special
in general,
about the heart.
The fact that he's a good person, like he has a good heart in general, and he put it on, like that is a big deal or something.
I don't know. It'll get explained whenever the next movie comes out.
They best do that.
They may do it. All right, and then the second extra scene.
We already talked about both of them.
Yeah, we talked about both of them.
Oh.
Luca. Keep up, Luca.
I thought you just mentioned it at the start.
One was about the rings, and then one was
about
homegirl. Yeah, and saying let's get to work.
Yeah, but I mean, didn't you want to go into it of like her taking over the 10 rings and not dismantling it, which is what he said that she was doing?
Yeah. Well,
he said
he's
okay.
Taking
I guess we can talk
control
about that.
But...
No. Because I think Shang thought that she was going to dismantle it. But
he said she's going there. She's not here right now because she's going to dismantle the 10 rings, and then we get a view of her in the chair.
Because obviously she lied to him.
Like.
Mm-mm.
Organized
he said dismantle,
or
I'm pretty
not
sure.
He didn't say that I don't think he knows, like I agree, I don't think he knows that she's taking it over, but I don't think he knew that she was gonna stop it necessarily.
I'm pretty sure, I don't know if he used the exact word dismantle, but whatever he said, his intention was that she's going to take apart my father's empire.
Okay.
Yeah and then like you see her sitting there of like with the 10 rings army around her.
Mm-hmm.
But it makes a lot of sense actually, because even though Wenwu like focused a lot more on his son, I think like from a personality perspective
she would have taken it over.
The sister was way more like, she was a lot more like her father than he was.
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
Like very like. And that's even why she had the whole fight club, because she was like, oh well, my dad's not gonna let me join his empire, so I'm just gonna build my own. Like, she's got
she
that same
the
sort
empire
of like
brain.
Power hungry. Yeah,
well it also makes sense because her mom died when she was way younger, so she didn't get as much lovey-dovey thoughts, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And even when she was trying to keep her lovey-dovey thoughts, her brother was going through some shit, and so would like, you know what I mean, like shut her down immediately. So like she's a like cold-hearted, just, you know what I mean, human at the end.
Yeah
absolutely.
Agree.
Was there a cameo in this movie?
No, because I'm pretty sure Stan Lee was had died before this movie.
Oh really? Damn.
That's sad.
Yeah. But moving away from sadness, I believe it is time for us to go through some trivia.
Trivia.
Woohoo!
So, our first piece of trivia here says VFX supervisor Christopher Townsend took to the water map sequence eagerly since he was tired of designing light holograms in the previous Marvel films.
Interesting.
Which is kind of like what you were saying, Luca. Like, it's like a lot of the other stuff is just like hologram, hologram, hologram. And this one's like, no, this is legit magical water.
Yeah.
It's like nice to have something different.
Yeah, it was a good change of pace.
Yeah. Second piece of trivia, the Fight Club in Macau was one large physical set that you could actually walk through rather than being made up of numerous smaller sets.
Oh, sick.
Where? The base?
The Fight Club.
Okay. Oh, the Fight Club.
Or Fight Club, yeah. Interesting. That's really cool. That was a great set.
Yeah. During the bus fight, a woman has her laptop split in half. And it says here that she actually would have been able to recover her work because she was using an HP Folio 9470M, which has a hard drive off to the side.
Okay.
Straight up, though, I did think about that. Whenever he cut it in half, I was like, well, he gave the pieces back, so she could probably retrieve her memory.
She was probably just working on, like, OneNote or, like, a drive, Google Drive or something.
Hopefully. I mean, yeah, that too. But yeah. Obviously there would be some stuff on her hard drive.
True. That is true. Well, good for her. She can restore her pictures.
Yeah. It says, the Mandarin in the comics wears 10 alien rings on his fingers. In this film, the rings were revised to be Hungar iron rings worn on the forearms as a way to incorporate Chinese culture, and also because cosmic jewelry had already been done with the Infinity Stones.
Uh-huh.
They were, like, trying to make it so it's not... Like, if you see one person with a bunch of gems on his hand, and then the next one, it's like, oh, here's a bunch of gems on his hand. It's like, okay, let's not do that. So,
makes sense.
Wait, so will we find out where the rings are from or why they're...
Probably at some point, yeah.
It's just not in the movie that's out yet?
No, not yet.
Oh, okay, cool.
All of the animals in Ta Lo are based on real Chinese mythological creatures. The guardian lions represent peace, supremacy, energy, and happiness. The, like, weird dragon horse looking thingies represent longevity and prosperity. Phoenixes obviously represent immortality. The nine-tailed fox represents power, peace, and prosperity. And the weird little Morris creatures with no face represent chaos and confusion.
LOL. No wonder Elena was so confused earlier.
Got me.
Got me.
And our last bit of trivia is that there is a scene, I don't know if either of you remember, where Wenwu yells at the archery guy and he says, I've lived 10 of your lifetimes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But the actual line that he says in Chinese is, I have eaten more salt than you have eaten rice.
Wow.
That's a cool little saying.
Yeah. That's pretty sick.
And obviously they changed it because that doesn't make as much sense to Western audiences, but like it's much more of like a snarky remark in China because like rice is a staple food there. So they're like, you've eaten a lot of fucking rice in your life. I've eaten more salt than that. I've lived so much longer than you. Like you don't even know.
That's wild.
Wow. That's a fucking put a period on it kind of statement.
Yeah. Period.
That was all of our trivia.
Love
so
that.
Now it is time for our recently introduced segment, Get Wrecked.
Okay.
Let's do it.
Luca, do you have a recommendation for our audience?
Let's see. I do have a recommendation. I just need to get it. Give me 1 second.
Recommendation of what? What are we doing here?
Okay, so we are just making just general recommendations of something that you think the audience should try, whether it's like you watched a nice show recently or like, oh, I had this dish that was delicious. And if you haven't had it, you should try it. Just like something that you would recommend to someone.
And I do have something to recommend and it is a food.
Nice. What you got?
It is a spicy Mexican style riced cauliflower. It has tomatoes. It's like tri-colored bell peppers in it with jalapenos. And it's vegan. So if there are any vegans out there, there's no meat involved in this dish. I would highly recommend you go out and try it. It is good. I made it at home, but you can buy it at Trader Joe's.
So like veggie rice?
Say what?
So like veggie rice?
Kind of.
Is it like
not...
the rice is cauliflower or is it like you're adding cauliflower to it?
No, I think it's rice cauliflower, like cauliflower in little bits.
Gotcha.
Yeah, it's really good.
Yummy.
It was yummy. And like pretty spicy too, because you know jalapenos. Mm. A good little tang to it. What about you, Cayman? Have you got any recommendations or?
So I'm gonna pull something from my history here. This isn't something that I've done recently, but still something that I would recommend for our audience is if any of you are super into the like vacation-y love kind of shows, like a Love Island or things like that, I would like to recommend a show called Too Hot to Handle, because it is literally one of the most hilarious dating shows ever seen in my life.
We haven't been watching it so long.
Wait, which one is that?
So the entire premise of Too Hot to Handle is they round up a bunch of super, super horny people and they put them on an island and they like make them believe they're like, oh, you guys are just like here to party and like fool around. And everyone's like, yeah. And then like at the end of the first night, they're like, psych, you're here to find real emotional connections and none of you are allowed to have sex with each other.
Or even kids. Like, or self-gratification or like anything.
And they give them like there's a prize pot and they're like, if you make it to the end of your stay here, then you get some money. But every time someone breaks the rules, the amount of money in the pot reduces.
Oh shit.
A kiss is worth $3,000.
Oh my god. So you have to keep everyone accountable, which is where the drama comes in, huh?
Yeah.
Yep. Great show. Love it.
That's awesome.
It's hilarious.
Lena, have you got a rec?
I guess I'll also do a show. I'm currently binge watching Lucifer on Netflix, and it's like a detective show with like a spin on like the like history of like, it's like storytelling of like the like God and the like a demons and whatever, and like Lucifer obviously is the name. So but it's fun. It's like a detective show and there's like supernatural kind of twist in it.
Supernatural detective show.
Yeah.
Heck yeah.
Cool. All right. Well, be sure to subscribe to the podcast and leave us a review. Tell your friends and family about us. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram at CashFanPod. If you want to send us a message, you can do so on either of those platforms, or you can send an email to casualfanaticpodcast@gmail.com. Luca, what kind of messages can they send us?
They can send us anything from, hey, I loved your podcast, I totally agreed with you, to things like, hey, I did not agree with you, to things like, hey, these are recommendations of movies that I would like to hear you guys, your take on. Things like that.
Yeah.
So what you're saying is literally say anything, please.
Literally anything.
I mean, anything you want.
Hearing and, from our audience members.
Absolutely.
What is going to be
and
the next
thank
movie?
Thank you, Elena, for joining us. You will have to wait and see what the next movie is going to be.
No lame. Spoilers on this part. There's no section for that.
Lame.
Thanks for joining us, Elena. It has been a lot of fun. I like it when you're on.
Yeah, even though you spoil most of the punch points that I
remember,
came up with.
Do you remember that one time when he was pretending to be dead?
Luca, what were you saying? Would you like me to finish your sentence?
Yeah, please. Please.
The
remember
one
that one time when...
Say,
oh, yeah, I remember that time. No, all love. But yeah, thank you for joining the podcast.
Maybe next
love
time
having
I'll
you
join
on,
in
and it's
Colorado.
Oh, oh my God, that would be something. That would be something. We should definitely do that.
Woof.
Did you just say woof?
Yeah, wait, I was making a joke because you were talking about human Sydney, but I was like, dog Sydney.
Oh. Well,
like,
yeah.
Woof.
We
all
will.
Right.
Yeah, we can plan that. She'll be here for the Thursday, but she's flying off on Friday to go to her fam. So she'll be
sucks.
Here for a day. Yeah, I know.
Anyway, this has been Casual Fanatic. Thanks for listening.
Thanks for listening.
Woo!
The woo.
Whoop.